Welcome to the Season 2 of the Smart and Sustainable City podcast. Today, we go to a smart city called Puy. Puy is a small and quiet town along Lake Geneva in Switzerland. It has 18,000 residents and covers only 5.8 square kilometers. That's 2.2 square miles. It is famous for its quality of life and its excellent wine. Puy prides itself to be human, friendly, efficient, and practical. Recently, in December 2019, this little town surprised the smart city community by announcing a major milestone achievement. It had verified and validated itself with the United Nations as the first Swiss smart city. And, again as a first, published its full certification report on its website at puy.ch. The smart city attention had been centered until then around larger cities such as Boston, London, Dubai, Singapore, Moscow, Barcelona, or Vienna. But with the help of the United Nations program, United for Smart and Sustainable Cities, some smaller cities such as Bizerte in Tunisia or Puy in Switzerland demonstrated that a smaller community can set itself on a path to sustainability. That being smart with its partnership and smart with its use of the right technology, any city, no matter its size or development, can become a smart city. We talk today with Alexandre Bossart. Alexandre is a member of the board and technical coordinator in the utility department at the city of Puy. Alexandre gives us some perspective on the work Puy has done to go through this United Nations Smart City verification process and shares some tips for other cities wanting to embark on the same journey.
My name is Alexandre Bossart. I work for the city of Puy, which is a little city with 18,000 inhabitants, which overlooks the Lemon Lake near Lausanne and Geneva in Switzerland. More specifically, I am a member of the board and the coordinator for the Department of Industrial Services and Technical Office in Puy, which means I pilot a complex project.
The surface of the city is 5.8 square kilometers.
Yes,
or 2.2 square miles. So it's not very large, is it?
No, it isn't very large. It's a little city, but also our size, little size is an advantage because we are little enough to be very agile and to know everybody in the administration. So to lead projects, it's very useful. And we are enough big to have all the basic competencies to lead complex projects and smart city projects, for example.
And Puy is also a wine country. So you have very good wine, actually, in Puy. And it's both red and white wine?
Yes, we have both red and white wine. And the city has its own vineyard. And we produce white and red wine.
Excellent. Fantastic. So another reason to come and visit the city.
And taste the local production, yes.
It's not just a great view and the fantastic Lake Leman, as you call it. So it's Lake Geneva, or you call it Lake Leman, right, in Puy?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Alexandre, why did Puy decide to embark on this verification journey with the International Telecommunication Union?
For us, it was a pilot project. It was effectively a journey. So we suggest to our politician to do this to apply this methodology, and they accept. And the idea is to have a tool which can help politicians and also the administration and the citizen for piloting the city, the development of the city.
So the tool is useful to give directions for politicians. Does it help you assess the situation through all the KPIs that you mentioned? So you do a first assessment of what is the situation in the city?
Yes, it is an assessment. This assessment is useful for the medium and long-term initiatives. For the short terms, it's not the right tool. But it gives the general trend, and we have taken this tool as a photography of the situation, you know. And then when we will have the election, the idea is that it will help politicians to write their legislative program is a report where a politician write what they want to achieve during the period where they are elected.
So the verification helps you assess the situation at a particular point in time. And then what you're saying is that over time, in a few years, you do another assessment and you measure progress on each of those indicators?
Yes, that's the idea, yes. Every 5 years, for example, just after the election, we do this assessment and we measure what was achieved and what was not achieved.
I saw on your website, as well as on the ITU website, that you published this report, and I was very impressed with the number of data points that you had to go through. Mm-hmm. You have 100 KPIs you had to evaluate, and this must have been a massive undertaking.
Yes and not, because around 60 or 70% of the KPIs are KPIs we manage in the city of Puy. So we have those KPIs. For example, we have to produce those KPIs for the report at the end of the each year. We write a general report, gestion report, we call this document.
The management report?
Or management report, where you write what you have done during the year, what are the targets which are achieved, etc. So around 70% of the KPIs were already measured on this report. And 30% of the KPIs are measured by the regional level or the national level. So that was more difficult to calculate or to find those KPIs. But now we know where we can find those KPIs. And that took a certain effort to achieve, to collect those KPIs.
I see. So some of the information was available locally, and some of the information you had to go out to different organizations in the country to collect them. Exactly. But as you have to go and do the next survey, now you know exactly where to find the information, mm-hmm. and the process will be much faster.
Exactly. I hope so. Well, I'm sure it will be much faster, yes.
Mm-hmm. And give us a sense of what are some of those KPIs, because we mentioned, how many KPIs were there? It's about 100 KPIs?
Officially, there are 87 KPIs, but some of them have sub-KPIs. So at the end, it's around 100 KPIs, yes. So the kind of KPIs, you have KPIs based on smart theme, and KPIs based on sustainability themes. So, for example, for smart themes, you have open data or percentage of smart city, smart electricity meters, and for sustainable development themes, you have, for example, drinking water quality or greenhouse gas emission or low carbon emission passenger vehicles, etc. And you, the proportion is around 30% of the KPIs are smart KPIs and 70% of KPIs are sustainable KPIs. And all those KPIs are based on the UN sustainable objectives.
And in collecting all of that information, did you collaborate with the United Nations to better understand what each of those KPIs meant and how to collect the information?
Yes, we have we had a strong collaboration with ITU, and when we had questions, we asked to ITU how we have to measure that kind of KPIs, because sometimes it's a bit difficult to understand how to measure it. And yes, that was a strong collaboration. We had also a collaboration with Swisscom, which is a telecom operator, and they were very interested to measure the impact of ICT on the cities, and we work. We have a strong collaboration with them also.
Was it hard to? Once you had the measurements for each of the KPI, to define a target? Were you actually asked to define a target for each of the KPIs, or was this not mandatory?
In the United for Smart and Sustainable Cities Initiative, which is the name of this ITU methodology, you don't have any target. You just have the KPI, you measure the KPI. So you have one measurement, but you don't know, is it good, is it bad, where I am. That's why we did a second step and we collect the target values based on the Swiss laws. It took around, perhaps 2 months to collect all the target values, and some of them we had target values based on laws, but sometimes we didn't find any laws to have a target value, so we took statistics, or we said we don't have anything, so we can't measure the target.
So the process doesn't require you to have a particular target for each KPI. But you went above and beyond the process to set your own objectives and targets for each KPI and to measure the performance of the city against those targets. Is this correct?
Yes, it is correct. And I think it's a work in progress job, because year after year, we will perhaps find a better target value or and with the discussion with the politician or with the citizen, we can adapt the value. And I think, yes, the target values, it's very useful to know where I am now. But it will, years after years, we will see an evolution of those target values.
I see in your report that you spent a lot of time in representing each of the metrics, each of the KPI, and also to provide your politicians with a general representation of what the study says. Can you tell us a little bit about this formatting effort, which is very important to be able to read and understand what the report says?
Yes, we wanted this application of the U4SSC initiative. We wanted to do something which is useful for the politicians, of course, but also for the administration, for the other cities, to communicate with other cities, and also with the citizens, so that we can debate on the different aspects which are measured in the U4SSC initiative. But if we want to debate with citizens, or even with politicians, or with other cities, we had to develop a visualization of the results, which is intuitive and also attractive, and not publishing a report for experts, which is read only by experts. That's why we did this this effort to have something, a pedagogic document, which can be read by everybody.
Yes, because you posted that document on your city website, and it's also posted on the ITU website. And I think it's one of the very first documents that was ever published that goes into full transparency of all those KPIs and all those targeting exercises that have carried on at the level of depth that you have demonstrated. And for a city which is, I don't want to say small, but 18,000 inhabitants is much smaller than some of the first names that we have in mind when we think about smart cities. Mm-hmm. Was it a difficult exercise to discuss before starting the program, to discuss with city officials and your colleagues? Was there a lot of discussions before actually launching the project?
We asked the other chief of the different departments. We asked them, are they interested in participating in this initiative? And they approved. And then we went to the politician and we asked also the politician, are you interested? And they also approved. So it was more a bottom-up process than a top-down process, you know. And the politician said, okay, we are interested. And then we worked on this initiative.
And that whole preparation phase and trying to rally agreements among all your colleagues and the politicians, how long did that process take?
It was very short. We had the first meeting with ITU end of February, and we began the measurement in April. So it took around 1 month.
What 1 month to get alignment within the city?
Exactly.
About the project.
And this is very important. To have this alignment. Otherwise, you don't have access to all the KPIs or, yes.
Right, because everybody contributes.
It's very important to have a participative approach so that everybody contributes to the effort.
And then you embark on the collection of all the information that you needed, according to the ITU. You worked with ITU to help you understand those different metrics. How long did that period take, the collection time?
We collected the KPIs from April 2017 to September 2017. So around 3 months. Not at full time, And then we had to wait because the assessor, there was only one assessor for the 50 cities worldwide, who is based in Canada. So we had to wait that he's free to, he has time to come in Puy to do the assessment. And he did this assessment in February 2018. And in April, we received a certification.
And how long did his assessments take? Basically, he comes over to the city and then you present the work that you have done and the information that you collected?
Yes, he stayed 2 days in Puy. So we stayed in a conference room during 2 days, and he asked us a lot of questions about the KPIs. He took one KPI, and we answered his questions.
So it's an independent verification or audit of your work and of the KPIs on the data points that you collected.
Yes. He wanted to see where are the sources of the information. That was the most important thing. When we say this KPI, we have the result of 80%, he asked, from where do you know that it's 80%? And in Switzerland, I discovered we have really good databases. I think he was pretty... he found it was a pretty good job we did. And the quality of data was very interesting.
And then the auditor obviously went back home and gave you your verification certificate, your smart city certificate. How long after?
1 month after we received the assessment report, and then we had an official event in where was it, in Malaga in Spain, ITU gave us the certification.
What would be some thoughts that you could share with some other cities about this whole process and some of the learnings that they need to bear in mind as they embark themselves on a verification process?
Alors, on the verification process, I think it is pretty easy. You can go on the website, ITU website, on the page U4SSC, United for Smart and Sustainable Cities. And there you have the methodology. You can download it and beginning. And you have also to, if you want to be certified, you have to write a letter to ITU and to ask the certification. And then you begin to collect the KPIs. So it's not something, it's pretty easy to do that. You just need to have time around, I would say, 2 or 3 months full time to collect the data.
And when you say full time, how many people worked full time on this project?
There was nobody who worked full time. I worked around, I think perhaps 10% of my time or 20% of my time. I had also a collaborator from Swisscom who worked 40% of her time during 2 years.
So it's a great project for a trainee or somebody that is passionate about smart cities. But it's not a full-time job. It is basically a process that needs to be run rigorously by somebody with a city tag or a city official approval
to run the process. It's very interesting because you see all the aspects of the city. You have a systemic view on the city, and that was very appreciated by also by politicians because they have all their own department and they can see really the details on each department. So for a trainee, it's very interesting. We worked part-time because we had also other projects to lead in parallel, but of course you can work full-time during 2 or 3 months and it's finished. You have collect all your data. So it depends the way you want to work.
And I think you mentioned the absolute need to get alignments with city officials, both on the political side and on the city management side.
This is really important. As I mentioned before, we had a bottom-up way of doing this project, but it can also be a top-down way. The politician wants to participate to U4SSC initiative, and they ask their department to manage the project. So it depends the way you want to manage it. But in every case, you have to have an approval of the different levels to be efficient.
And this process is valid for large cities, of course, but also smaller cities. So you felt your size was not an inhibitor to drive this process forward.
No, because in our city, we have all the utility we have the utility department. Some cities have, this is a society which is external of the city. And we manage all the aspects of a city. So you can be little, medium, or big city. It's the same. You have the same things to manage: fresh water, electricity. We find those utilities in every cities, in fact, or school, or buildings, or social aspects, or finance. You find that in every cities. So the size is not very important for this initiative.
Alexandre Bossard from the city of Puy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Smart and Sustainable City podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. If you're responsible for a smart city initiative, do reach out. You can reach us at pierre.merles@partner360.net.